Good morning and welcome to Covenant Church. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. If you're seated near the outside of the aisle, you'll find an envelope there. In the envelope, there's a way to let us know if you're visiting with us, and there are also celebration and concern cards. Any filled out cards can be placed in the offering plate or given to me or our worship leader, Tanya. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice of heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." These are our sacred stories. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus decides to go to the river. He decides to align himself with the teaching of John, who defies government and religious leaders, preaching forgiveness and repentance in the desert. Jesus decides to be baptized, and this decision is affirmed with spoken belovedness and the Spirit of God descending like a dove. In the churches of my childhood and youth, when people decided to be baptized, they first decided to accept Jesus into their hearts and to be saved. This decision was affirmed through a walk down the aisle toward the minister, a whispered conversation, and usually a prayer. There were no voices of belovedness or images of doves, at least that I could hear or see. There was another option available to aisle walkers. In addition to salvation and baptism on offer, an open invitation to rededicate our lives was also presented. This option was somewhat downplayed on Sunday mornings, but at youth camp, rededication was given top billing. Some young man preacher would talk about backsliding, about how sin can take a hold of your life, and how Jesus wanted us to rededicate ourselves to him and start living right. In my childhood and youth, salvation and rededication were about personal sin. I've been thinking a lot about rededication lately, not the kind from my youth, but rather a larger, broader rededication. Rededication to the work of peace in the world. It seems to me that following in the way of Jesus requires a great deal of dedication and rededication because it involves decision after decision after decision. The people coming to John to be baptized in the River Jordan, they say to him, "What should we do?" And John tells them, "Share. Share. Act justly. Be satisfied." And Jesus comes to be baptized by John to align himself with this teaching, to dedicate himself to the realm of God, to associate himself with the others coming for baptism, those who are oppressed over against the oppressor. Seeking to follow in the way of Jesus is not one decision. It's not even one decision each day. It's hundreds of decisions. It's choosing peace. It's choosing justice. It's choosing connection. It's choosing love. And choices are hard. There are so many choices. What to say, what to do, what to wear, what to cook for dinner. What to do about the hate and the fear, other people's hate and fear and my own. How to help the earth. How to respond or not respond to the new level of eye-rolling, sarcasm, and huffing happening in my house. What to read. What podcast to follow. How to work for justice and change. How to deal with emotions, yours and everyone else's. What to buy or not buy, where to shop. Or not shop, what to watch and not shop, not watch, and on and on and on. If we choose to follow in the way of Jesus, whether we are baptized or not, we must keep choosing. Baptism is a public acknowledgement that we have welcomed the teachings of Jesus into our decision making, that we want to work for peace and justice. We may only enter baptismal waters once, but we decide over and over and over how we want the world to be, how we want our lives to be. I want peace. I want it for myself and my family. I want it for you and your families. I want it for all the families in all the world. But these days, peace seems to get farther away and more elusive. And I'm frightened. I'm frightened for our servicemen and women, frightened for our children, all the children everywhere, frightened for our country and for Iran and Iraq and India and Pakistan and Israel and Palestine and China and Korea, and frightened. And so I bring my fears here, and I bring my hope here, and I bring my longing for peace here. I bring myself and my family here to this place where we gather to worship, where we gather to minister to each other, to build courage in each other, to dream and hope for when peace will make us one. To live into the realm that Jesus taught and lived, a realm of divine love, a realm that thrives on justice, a realm of peace. Creating this realm will require us to resist policies and politicians that denigrate immigrants and refugees, the poor, LGBTQ+ people, African American and Latina and Latino people, Muslims, Jews, atheists, differently abled people. Following Jesus and creating the realm of God means resisting, like Jesus did, injustice and oppression. It means opposing tyrants, opposing abuses of power, opposing warmongering. Creating the realm of God will require our diligence and dedication. It will require us to speak truth to power, to turn swords into plowshares.
Thank you.
Audrey Assad wrote the song you just heard. She entitled it, "Your Peace Will Make Us One." Jody and I heard these new words to the tune of the battle hymn of the Republic, and nevertheless she preached. And much like you just experienced it, we were not prepared. Nothing was printed in the program. And so when the music began, I felt more than a little shocked. I hadn't heard or sung Battle Hymn of the Republic in a worship service since my youth. In the churches that raised me, this song appeared every Sunday closest to the 4th of July. The American flag, which typically was relegated to the left corner of the choir loft, opposite and on equal footing with the Christian flag in the right, was pulled from its corner and placed prominently on the platform, and we sang Battle Hymn of the Republic and other patriotic songs that were found in our hymnal. Hearing the familiar tune, I expected the familiar words, but instead of loose the fateful lightning from his terrible swift sword, I heard, "You are speaking truth to power, you are laying down the swords. Your peace will make us one. You're mothering and feeding in the wee hours of the night. Your gentle love is patient, you will never fade or tire, dismantling our empires till each one of us is free. Your peace will make us one." And there were tears in my eyes and on my face, because yes, this is my prayer and my hope. This is why and how I want to be a follower of Jesus, this peace. The Battle Hymn of the Republic was written by Julia Ward Howe. She was an abolitionist writer. She penned these words toward the beginning of the Civil War. Howe joined images of God from Isaiah and Revelation with the defeat of slavery. It was a song about God's justice, not about military might or God being on our side, carte blanche. I imagine that Julia Howe would like Audrey's version. I imagine that Julia would be surprised that her song has gone from a rally cry against slavery to the never question the government patriotism that now often accompanies it. The original words spoke to the belief that God is marching on. Her last verse reads, "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on." So many did die to make men and women free. I fear her song now, though, is used to bolster war, which make men rich. War to distract. War to keep us afraid. And so we will sing, "Your peace will make us one." And we will pray, "Your peace will make us one." And we will live, "Your peace will make us one." And we will dedicate ourselves to that peace, to following Jesus, to the work of salvation. Salvation, the transformation of the world by joining in the work that Jesus was passionate about. Work to create the kingdom of God on earth where the oppressed are freed. Peace is secured not through violence, but through love. Justice is established through sharing, compassion, and economic transformation, and welcome unfolds through radical inclusion. We are a part of this ongoing salvation. Our choices matter. This is not about guilt and shame, rather, it's about being empowered. We are all the beloved children of God, and we work together to bring God's love and welcome into being. Ritual waters remind us of our commitment for peace, A dove is here to greet us each Sunday, reminding us of our work for peace and our decisions and our choices for peace. Knowing there are decisions and dedications to be made and remade means that when we make a mistake, we might be curious about our motivations, but we can move forward knowing that we get another chance and another and another. And curiosity rather than judgment might help us make a different choice next time. And the choices we make, they add up to a way of life. The way of Jesus is not always easy, and it's not always obvious. It's a path we walk, a path of peace and love, a path we share with fellow pilgrims all trying to make the world a better place. And so, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, now let us rededicate ourselves to the long and bitter but beautiful struggle for a new world. He continued, if we will only make the right choices, we will be able to transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative psalm of peace. If we will make the right choices, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our world into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood and sisterhood. We seek to make the right choices. We rededicate ourselves to the struggle. We hold on to the belief that peace will make us one. Amen.